Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast, slash Recon Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Today's my guest. We're just going to dive right into the episode. We're going to be talking about purposeful living through actionable lifestyle steps. And we're going to be, his name's Dwight Heck, and we're going to just dive right into this episode. Let's get started. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Who I am? I'm Dwight Heck. I have been in financial planning and lifestyle coaching for the last 21 years. How I got started in the industry, I was, prior to this, I was a computer consultant and ran also a computer service and retail company, and started having health effects and was raising kids. I was a single dad of now their five adult kids, and wasn't necessarily understanding the rules of the money game and understanding how to live a purposeful life and not a life of accident like many of us live around the world today. So thus, I was living on a hamster wheel, right? Going to work, go home, get paid, getting things done, but never really understanding why sometimes I had more money than other months, right? Because I wasn't living a life based on needs versus wants. I really wasn't. Had never been taught budgeting. Most of us are never taught how to goal set and budget our money so that we have more days in the month than we do money, right? So that's how most of us live, unfortunately, is we have, you know, 15th of the month, 20th of the month rolls around, our money's gone. We don't understand why, because we'll go out and purchase something for $100 because it's in our bank account, but don't have anything documented to show that we have a payment that needs to be made the next week for that for $125. So even before we spend that $100, we're already going to be behind the eight ball by $25. And, you know, I got reached out by somebody and said, you know, you're really good with people. You're really good with, you know, being relatable. And we think you should get into the financial services industry and, you know, teach people how to live life better. But before you can do that, we need to teach you how to do it for yourself, right? You're a six-figure income earner, yet you're living from hand to mouth. We've known you at this point in time, the person that had reached out to me had already known me for over a decade. And he said, you know, you've got to get your life under control. I've just finished going through this process myself. It's done a ton of difference and made a ton of difference for me in my life. So I got involved in the financial services industry. I didn't like the traditional way of, you know, press hard on paper, you know, three copies, here's your copy, see you never after the fact. I wanted to build something where it was truly built on relationships and education and teaching people how to get off the hamster wheel of life and live a purposeful life, right? And that's what my book is basically about, how to live life on purpose, not by accident. And it doesn't matter what age somebody is, they can learn how to understand the rules of the money game. They can learn how to live that purposeful life. And it's not always about numbers. It's not always about money. It's about working on our 6 inches between our ears and understanding what our life monsters, which tie to our money monsters and why we got into these circumstances. Our parents are people that have supported or raised us throughout our lives, our community, our circle of influence that's around us doesn't know how to do it right themselves. So they don't know how to teach it, right? And the education system fails us and continues to fail us in North America and around the world on teaching us how to understand even the, you know, how to live life in regards to dealing with anxiety, stress, how to plan for tomorrow, how to plan for 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, and retirement. So that's basically how I got involved in it, because I was tired of living on that hamster wheel and going to bed in quiet desperation at night and trying to live a life that was purposeful, yet having to hide it all from my five kids as a single dad supporting them, right? So it happened. I got involved in it. I'm a tenacious personality, and I've spent the last 21 years building on that and, you know, continually fine-tuning it so that I can help people through those hills and valleys. Because though it's easy to do it, it's mentally and emotionally very taxing.
You hit a lot of great points, and I want to touch on a few before I ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So I like how you said that the school systems fail at teaching just financial stuff in general, because someone told me, I forget who, but I remember someone telling me that kids these days, not even my generation, but the generation after my generation, doesn't even know what cash looks like anymore. And the reason why is because everything is on a credit card. And I was like thinking, it's like, that's a little bit sad, because, you know, I should really clarify it, and I don't mean the dollar cash. I mean, I should have said what quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies look like, because no one uses it anymore. Or I should say very few people that I've seen use it, because in this day and age and economy, not talking politics, but let's just be realistic, everything's high in prices and whatnot. And I admit that I also use a credit card because I don't know what the price is going to be after tax and so on and so forth. Unless you're looking back and buying a 3-year product that's like $99, then you can, whatever tax it is in your state, etc., can probably figure out the math for that. But chances are you're probably not buying a 3-year-old. Well, I mean, I did, but that was only because I wanted to read a different type of work than a Kindle. But anyway, I digress. But I like that you said that, because I really feel like colleges, high school, maybe even middle school level, we talk about budgeting, how to set a budget, what a budget looks like, how to live on a budget, etc. And so I have a little bit wants and not wants, but balance it for so you don't go over your budget and left with a bill that you can't pay or have to just pay the interest on. And so that the full amount of the credit card, it'd be like, oh, pay $35, and then it just rolls into the next month, into the next month. And so I agree with that. And then I also agree that it is an annoying hamster wheel that we tend to get on. We need to make a huge living and pay insurance, pay this, pay bills and whatnot. And I've seen myself getting in a rut like that. And it's like, how am I going to make this for my business? And I said, you know, Jimmy, you're in school still. Once you graduate, you can start thinking of that. And it's like, live now, don't worry about 4 more years down the road. I was like, live in the now, damn it. And I keep reminding myself, because my brain tends to wander. And plus, I have some people, not going to mention by name or by who they are, but sometimes tend to remind me, it's like, you know, you're going to have to make more than this. It's like, stop doing this to me, damn it. And I try to tune them out as best as I can. So I just wanted to touch on those points. So my first question for you is, and this might sound like a very amateur question, but I want to ask, and I think my listeners would appreciate me asking this, how do you start a budget and how do you stick to it?
Well, first and foremost, in order to start a budget, you need to know what you want out of life. You need to understand the differences between what's I refer to as needs and wants. So if you're a young individual and you're just moving out on your own, you know, you're removing from your mom and dad's, and or you go through tragedy in life, and let's say you get divorced or you lose your significant other, it's not even somebody that's young that needs to worry about it. You got to understand, what do you need to survive in life? Like a comfortable survival, right? Not just the struggle. So what do you need? You need to pay rent, you need to pay some utilities, maybe you have a home and you got to continue to pay the mortgage, you got car insurance, you got gas, maybe you want some haircuts, you want to go on a vacation. So I literally goal set with people and say, what do you want? Here's a list. For an example, there's a list of 10 things that I go through with people and say, what's your top three? I can help them with all 10, but what's their top three? You know, maybe they're a young person that's already gotten in debt, like you were talking about. They got a credit card, they can't pay it, and then it rolls to the next month. So they'll check off, they want to get out of debt. They want to save for retirement, because even though we want to live for today comfortably, we still have to worry about a future. Though the future is uncertain, we can't promise we're going to have that future. We still need to put part of that into our goal setting. And why do I say all this? Because it ties directly to your budget. So now in your budget, we're going to list all your different items that you need, again, referring to not wants. Want is wanting something that I want, you know, let's say even, it doesn't matter what age you are, you have a bill that's due, that's $150, and there's a concert you want to go to, or you want to go out to a movie and, you know, supper, and you want to do a bunch of things, that's going to be $150. Well, one's a need and one's a want. Right? Going out is a want. And understanding that and starting to program your 6 inches between your ears to understand the difference between a need and a want. Now, when you detail all your things down in your budget, like literally everything I'm talking about, from your food to your car insurance, your gasoline, if you don't have a vehicle and you need to buy a bus pass every month, it needs to be in there. If you have haircuts, it needs to be put in there, because it all comes out of the same pool of money. So the more detailed your needs are on there, and then you look at, well, here's some of the things I want, and you put those in there too. Now, in the spreadsheet that I do with my clients, at the top, you're going to put in your income. What is your net income? And at the bottom, you're going to have all your expenses. At the very top, it's going to say here you have an overflow or a shortfall. Right? And a shortfall isn't what we want. If all of a sudden you have a shortfall of $200, we're going to go through your budget. We're going to look at it, and then I'm going to question, is this a need or a want? Because initially people don't understand. So you teach by example and you have conversations. That's the biggest thing about financial education and helping people with lifestyle coaching, is having conversations to find out, what are their money monsters? What were their life monsters growing up? How are they educated and what did they learn? So, you know, it's not just that we sit down and let's do this budget and put all these numbers in. I have multiple conversations with people to find out what are their goals and then apply that into the budget. So if they're in debt, that's a need to be inside your budget. And then teach them processes called debt roll-up to get rid of that debt so that it's not hanging over their head the rest of their lives. They can free up that money eventually, and then that money can be used for some of the other things they want in life. Maybe they want to go on a vacation, you know, for a couple weeks, and they've never been able to. And I can teach them how to save using different, you know, pots of money or bank accounts, however you want to look at it, where they now their debt's paid off because we've used this budget effectively. They can save $200 a month instead of putting that against the debt. The debt's gone. They don't get into debt anymore because now they understand some of the things that got them in debt were wants. They weren't needs in order for them to survive. Now, if something happens in an emergency, and let's say we use a vehicle, or maybe they have an appliance in their place that breaks down, or something breaks down and they don't have the extra money and they have to use a credit card, they'll understand though how to get rid of that debt quickly, right? Because they had no choice but to use a credit card, a line of credit, overdraft, or whatever. They'll look at their budget and go, you know what? I had to put this in. Now I'm going to have a shortfall this month. And that shortfall, how am I going to take care of it? Oh, the next month I had a couple wants in there. well, maybe I can take, I'm going to have to take those couple wants out of there so that I don't stay in debt, because something happened the prior month. Now I have that debt. That $200, let's use that number again, was going to be towards some wants. I was going to buy a concert ticket. I was going to buy myself some new clothing. Though I didn't need the new clothing, it wasn't a need, it was a want. I wanted to update my wardrobe. So, well, those that clothing's going to have to wait, because I had to spend $200 the month before. I'm going to use that $200 that I was going to use for wants, and now it has to become a need, that it goes against the debt. And it's something that you literally live by it. It's basically, we have a diet where people will nutritionally live really well, and they live a nutritional lifestyle. Some people call it a diet, and we follow that so that we feel better. Well, a budget is a diet for your life. It's not a bad thing, though. It's a nutritional way to feed your 6 inches between your ears so that you're always feeling confident in your financial life. If you're confident in your financial life, you sleep better. You're not living a life of quiet desperation. You also eat better, because when we feel financially strapped, a lot of people do what? They depress and eat, right? Or they eat through their anxiety and they eat unhealthy because they figure, what's the point? I might as well enjoy something. And then they get overweight, or they become disease, they get disease or whatever the case may be. And then they feel their 6 inches just doesn't feel well. So budgeting is really a diet. It is a nutritional way of living a healthy, you know, purposeful life.
I agree with all of that. So there was a, let's just say, make a long story short, I had a big bill last month. I bought a tool to help me pitch to people and places better for helping me get speaking engagements. And right now, that was a need, because I'm not very good at simplifying text and bullet points and boom, 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 boom. So I set aside some money for it. And I had a few friends of mine ask me and say, hey, Jimmy, do you want to go do something? And it's like, yes, I would. And I said to them, it's like, but I don't want to do something that will cost me more money at the moment. So we decided to, We decided to go to a park and just have, because it was nice out. I mean, walked around, and then the other friend, we literally went to, he came to my house and we watched a movie either on Netflix or something, and I was like, see, we're still watching a movie. Okay, it's not in the movie theaters, but me and him can agree on something to go to see in the movie theaters anyway. And I just said, you know, I'd be willing to go to the movies at the once I pay off this bill and pay myself back for this tool. And I had some plans set up to help me pay back from this tool. So, and it's going to take me a couple, I planned it out that it's going to take me a couple of months, but I was like, it's going to be all worth it in the end.
Absolutely. I'm glad you bring that up, though, Jimmy. So many people today, like, it took me years to figure that out, that, you know what, the pressure from outside influences like friends or family, hey, let's go out for supper. Hey, do you want to meet up for this? Do you want to do that? I didn't necessarily have the money to pay for it, but it was, I didn't want to let them know that I was broke. We are afraid of what other people think of us, when in the end of the day, the circle of people in our lives that we associate with should be understanding. We shouldn't be afraid to be vulnerable and say, you know what, I can't afford that, right? Let's get together and watch, let's go to the park and watch a movie, like you were saying. You know, like, there's lots of clients that over the years, we don't necessarily meet up at their business or their home, or they don't come to where I'm located. And I'll say to them, hey, let's go out for, you know, let's meet, we'll have a bite to eat, right? Well, I'll end up paying for it for them. And it's an added cost on my life. And it isn't something that is necessarily beneficial to both of us, because I'm teaching them that we need to go and meet in an environment where I got to spend money. Now, you know, or I'll meet up with family or friends, and I don't want to say to them, hey, you're going to have to pay for your own food. I'll pay for mine. I can afford that, you know, because they have an impression that I have lots of money. So then I'll pay for both of our breakfasts, or maybe there's 3-4 of us. And really at the end of the day, I should have said, hey, let's go back to the house and I'll make some eggs and bacon and some pancakes or waffles, or, you know, I got some fruit there. Yes, you still spend money on it, but it's a cost-effective spending. You still get to have that relationship and hang out. And a lot of times it's better. You don't have all that noise in the restaurant or at the movie theater. Are you really visiting at the movie theater? If you're watching a movie at home with your friends, you can pause it. You can go to the bathroom. You can pause it and say, hey, Jimmy, did you see that scene? Wasn't that hilarious? Or what was that scene about, Jimmy? I didn't quite get that. You can't do that at the theater. There's no real relationship or connection. And we are forced to think it as a society we have to run to go out and spend money to hang out to make it a fulfilling connection. And so I really like you bringing that up.
Thank you. And so my next question for you is, what do you think are the systems in place, whether it's school or college, do not teach this kind of stuff? You know, I feel like it would be helpful. Like, even if it was a designated class in college, it's like, why can't it be part of everybody's major? Because, like, every career involves money of some sort. So it's like, why isn't that part of the majors? And it's like, it would probably be better than, let's say, art history. I mean, unless somebody was interested in art history, but, like, make it a mandatory part of the major. You make statistics that I'm never going to probably ever use again. I mean, I would use for my business and my marketing, but I wouldn't use those other kind of statistics that I'm having to do. Z-scores, T-scores, and prep scores. And
I did all those courses years ago. I know what you're talking about. So to answer your comment, your question, the harsh truth is that school is broken, whether it's middle school, high school, college, university, it doesn't matter. It is a business, and it is not about really uplifting and teaching people how to live a purposeful life, because there's a lot of things that they teach in school today, the courses and that are completely useless for your life that you'll never touch again, whether it is, again, middle school, high school, university, college. They should start off in the first year of any college or university. They should start off right away in later middle school into high school, teaching people this is what you need to utilize in regards to money. This is a need, this is a want, and use visuals and use examples, use case studies. This is what can happen if you decide to do this. This is what the repercussions are on your life. But if they taught you that in school, all of a sudden it would be a light bulb moment for a lot of people. It would teach them that really at the end of the day, they're paying for courses and paying for books that aren't really a need. They're not really even a want, because they really don't want to learn. We'll use statistics. I was in a program where they taught me many useless courses where, you know, for some people, yes, it would be. If you're going to be a mathematician, you're going to be somebody that's working in the sciences and require massive amounts of data and being able to analyze it, you need to understand statistics. You need to understand, like, I went through electronics engineering, and some of the classes that I were taught were completely useless for that program. They were completely useless for me to be a better person. They weren't teaching me anything except it was cha-ching. All of a sudden, they're charging me for this course. They're charging me hundreds of dollars for the textbooks. And the harsh reality is it's a business. So if they restructure and make everything more effective, and this is what you need for what you want to do, and this is all you need to take, all these are going to help you. These are very, you know, strategic. Here's the costs involved. This is what you're going to do. We're going to teach you how to not overspend for your schooling. We're going to make it very effective. And your life's going to be more purposeful. It's going to be better. So if they taught that stuff in school, they'd lose a lot of the workforce too, because they would be teaching people how to live a better life, so they wouldn't be stuck in their jobs too. They wouldn't get into a job where they feel obligated to stay because they didn't understand the needs and wants. They got into a bunch of debt. So now they're trapped in a job they don't like, working with people that aren't really favorable to them growing it between their 6 inches. The whole thing is a business. It's designed to control. Schools were developed to create a workforce. If people do the research, and you can even Google it, you will find out what I'm telling you is the truth. It was designed to create a workforce, not to create free thinkers, not to create people living a purposeful life. It was created to create workers. It is a business that is booming and makes billions of dollars every single year.
Wow. I feel like I just got, I think, I feel like I'm in a secret society at the moment.
This is not the, what is it, Illuminati. I'm not part of that.
So my next, I want to touch on something real quick on that. You know, I like it how you said that, how it's a business. It seems like everything in today's society is a business. This is a business. This is a business. And I'm like, that's too many gosh darn businesses. I made this for something as simple as, I don't have a good example of that, but it just feels like, this one random thing is a business. And it's like, huh? It's like everybody's trying to make money off of one. Like the very smallest crumb on your plate is like, you owe me for this. And like, huh? You didn't do anything for me, but you owe me for this. And like, what the hell? If only I could do that to like Google or something. Because like, just if, this is where my brain goes at the moment. It's funny. I was having this one issue for I actually posted this on social media, so if people want to go back to see it, I tweeted to Google about this. I was having this one issue of getting my stuff updated on Google News, and I wrote to Google and say, hey, if you want me to babysit your Google bots, I cost only $100. I only charge $100 an hour. And I purposely did that just for Google, just because I like it. And it's like, hey, this would be a really great business idea. And it's like, just and I actually sent them my PayPal link too, just to really annoy them.
Good for you.
I put you something on there, and it probably is like, who's this guy think he is telling us this?
Well, you know, back to the school thing, as an added side note, most schools and universities and colleges in North America, in Canada where I live, and in the U.S., most of the textbooks you're buying, a lot of times you don't even crack them. You're lucky if you use 5% of it, or they'll say you got to buy a workbook that you hardly ever use. And a lot of that stuff's written by the professors and the teachers write that stuff, and people don't even realize that they're making profit off of that. They make money off of that. So of course it's going to be you want to take this program, you're going to buy it. You have to buy all these books. I can't believe how many of my clients today, their kids, or even when I went through college, the books that I bought that I never utilized, even 5% of them, yet the books were ridiculously priced. Yeah, exactly. That thick, right? They're like 3-4 inches thick. My daughter graduated a couple of years back from nursing school. One of the books she had to buy was $450, and she hardly utilized it through the program. And found out the book was written by somebody at that school, at that university, right? So of course they're going to say that book needs to be bought. They made profit off it. The university sells it from the bookstore. They make profit off of it. And the student gets a bunch more debt because they have to get bigger student loans, or they tapped out their student loans. Like her boyfriend's a doctor, and he's got excessive debt because of the amount of years they have to be in school, right? Student loans only cover so much, then they have to live off lines of credit to pay for all the books and the labs and all this stuff. And a lot of it is it's all a business. It really is. Like you said, everybody wants you to pay for that crumb. I love how you put that.
One thing I really enjoy about some of my past professors, some of them actually have figured, have cracked their code, with, like what you said. And let's say, for instance, my school used to have a bookstore. I don't know if they have an online one anymore. It's been a while since I actually took a look around their website. I'm just like literally just go on the back end, I mean, in my student portal, and go to the tools I need where I don't browse much anymore. So I forget what's there and what's not there. But I think what they're trying to do now, and I could be wrong, so don't take my word for it, but I believe some of the professors are now moving towards Amazon a little bit for some textbooks. And it doesn't matter if it's like the latest edition, or they might, some accept the earlier editions. And I, like, for instance, there's one math book that I'm using this semester. I think it was like $30. And it was made by this third party company, et cetera. And what I like about that is because at least, okay, if I have to fork over money for the textbook, at least it's not going to cost me an arm and a leg, et cetera, versus what my school bookstore used to, when I was on campus, and it used to, when I had to go buy it, I had this thing was, I had this weird class name, this weird, I had to do this one class. It was like Strategies for College Success. This book was like this thick, medium thickish, and I don't think we even used like all of the book at all. I think we used it for like five chapters, and it was like over $100-something book. And I'm like, I'm never ever gonna open this book ever again.
And you won't. And then some of these colleges and universities, you can resell books, but they'll, from one, I've heard this so many times from people currently in university or college, or even back when I was, or, you know, in the 21 years, I hear it from clients about their kids or even courses they take. That book from one semester to another, they'll change, like you mentioned, editions. Now it's a new edition, and you're not allowed to buy the old. You can't go to the used book sale that they hold and save a few bucks, because they've supposedly said this is the new edition, and you have to buy that new edition. And the new edition is always more expensive. It's a money business. Even the teachers or professors or the university or colleges, they're in business. That person that's teaching that course, if he has any say in that course or the workbooks or the books themselves, of course they want to keep on making more money off of it, because their desire should be there to educate, to build relationships, to help you nurture that spark inside your brain, that 6 inches between your ears, to help you elevate your life. But really, well, at the end of the day, it all goes back to what we've been talking about, Jimmy. It's business. It's a money game, right? But that money game, it's okay to make money. I want people to understand that it's okay to make money. It's okay to want to have more in life, but your first goal should always be about the human condition, about educating and being responsible and building relationships. And if you do things right, you're going to make money. That's just the way it is. But unfortunately, they're first and foremost, it's business. The relationship part's way in the bottom. They don't think enough about it. And this might offend people, but this isn't my first kick at the can. I see it. I've been involved in it. I understand it, and it hasn't changed. It's actually gotten worse, and it causes people to go to college or university and spend 4, 5, 10 years or longer after the fact trying to get rid of their financial burden that school bought them. And hopefully the financial burden they purchased, the course they took, the program they took, the degree they took, the whatever it is going to actually make them enough money to pay it off. Sometimes they come out of school, and then they come out of school, and maybe they get married, and all of a sudden they got more expenses. They have kids, they got more expenses. And there's, I have clients that I've sat with, brand new clients that have been straddled. 20 years later, they're still paying student loan debt off. That's not the way life should be. That's not purposeful living, is it, Jimmy?
No. So my next question for you is, how does one, I know we touched on it, but how does one go from, like, besides the budgeting and knowing what's coming in and what's coming out of your finances, how does one live their life on purpose besides just the financial part? Is there any steps along the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's multiple steps. That's a great question. To live a purposeful life, you're right, isn't just about money. It starts, because in order to have the money aspect of it working, you have to change the 6 inches between your ears. You have to change that programming that starts from a very young age of, you know, living on that hamster wheel. We see our families live on that hamster wheel, our you know, associations around us, we see them living on that hamster wheel. We develop that same process. And part of it has to do with society is conditioning us to be that great worker, to be stuck on that hamster wheel, to be in debt, to do that don't pay a cent event, go buy this TV, this couch, go buy a vehicle, spend the next 7-8 years paying it off, pay all that interest to us because we want to become more wealthy. It's not about you. So we need to condition and teach people how to have a better mindset. So what are you watching? Are you watching and the type of TVs or movies and understand that it's an entertainment value? Or do you get sucked into the storyline of it? And that storyline is showing people going out and living extravagant and you want what they have, right? But the reality is in real life, very few people live in that extravagant world. Right? They don't live in that world of purposeful living. So they need to understand, what am I reading? What am I listening to? What am I watching? Who am I associating with? Am I associating with people that have broke mindset, that are constantly complaining about being in debt all the time? They're constantly complaining about, they're political. They're complaining about the government. They're complaining about how, look at my neighbor, or look at my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle. Look at everything they have. Look at what the Joneses have and the Smiths have, and I don't have any of it. They're always being negative. So they need to actually work on reading proper books, right? The Magic of Thinking Big, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? Different books that can help condition and change their mindset. Right? 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, right? Just different things that, well, it takes time, but you got to start that baby step to start somewhere. So all of a sudden, instead of, if you're a podcast listener, quit listening to true crime podcasts. Who cares about them breaking down the fact of this serial killer that lived, did stuff 20 years ago? That ain't healthy for your mindset. That's going to make you fearful. It's going to slow you back. Listen to great podcasts like Jimmy's. Listen to my podcast. Listen to something that's going to teach you how to elevate your mindset. So pick up those good books that do the same thing. Listen to podcasts that do the same things. Start going and associating with groups of people that have positive mindsets. Right? Yes, it's going to be tough because when you're stuck and people have been, you're in the same programming over and over again, you need to find yourself also a great mentor, somebody that can coach you and say, what's going on, Jimmy? Why are you feeling like that? Like, what's going on? Tell me the story. Tell me what's the root of this. And Jimmy shares with me. And because I coach and mentor people, I can say, you know what, Jimmy? That's unfortunate. Have you ever thought about thinking about it this way? Hey, Jimmy, here's some resources that I can give you that can help you think differently about that. Or you're stuck on this and somebody else is saying, well, that's a stupid idea, Jimmy. Why don't you just be satisfied that, about life, right? That's terrible mentorship coaching. You say that same stuff to me and I'll go, Jimmy, you know what? Here's some options for you. Let's work through this. Oh, you know what, Jimmy? That's a great idea that you want to do that. Let's have some more conversation about it. Maybe I can direct and focus you and we can help you with your roadmap of life, right? That's the biggest problem. Then that's where it has to start. You're right. It isn't just about the numbers. We got to start working on how we think, how we interpret, right? We need to be better at our daily lives instead of being that person that goes to work, goes home, is miserable, didn't have a good day at work. Maybe you're not getting along with your significant other. Maybe you're lonely because you don't have a significant other. You get caught up in watching the drama on TV. You live that drama and you go overspend to have that dopamine hit. You go and spend money you shouldn't have spent. You felt good for a few minutes, then all of a sudden you don't feel good about it because now you're coming on your credit card. So you start eating, right? You get addicted to eating, depressive eating, or maybe you get addicted to drugs and alcohol, and your life just spirals onto that hamster wheel, right? And if anybody that's listening to that, you're stuck and you're in that position, I'm here to tell you that you can give a heck about your life. You can change. You just have to find the right associations of, again, what you listen to, watch, who you hang out with can make a massive impact on your life.
So before my next, I want to touch on another thing right here real quick. I was listening to this podcast yesterday while I was going around town for certain things. And I was listening to this podcast. I mean, the guest to the podcast they had on, and they said, and I really like what they said. I actually remember what they said off the top of my head. They basically, give me a second, I'm drawing a blank real quick. Sorry, I'm just trying to retrieve the
piece of paper.
Too much math in my head at the moment. I blame the math, damn it.
We all have what I call brain farts, Jimmy. That's just life, right? It happens. Sometimes things go poof.
So basically what they said is that on how you to improve what if you didn't like what something that you didn't do yesterday, go back and reflect on what you didn't do and say, how can I improve upon this for this day, for the current day? And each day he writes it and writes it down and goes over and say, you know, I didn't, for instance, for healthy living, as an example he gave, I didn't do the last few reps on this, and I didn't give it my 100%. I gave it my 85%. And so it was like, so next time I get into the gym, I'm going to continue to do the last few reps that I need to do in order to see more improved results. And so I want to pick your brain at this real quick and feel free to say yes or no. I'm a person who I learn better doing and also learning hands on, etc. Would you be interested into, you know, how we were just explaining how you can talk people into certain things? Could we give them the audience an example of what we were talking about between you and me?
So are you asking, like, what could a person do to better educate people? Because you're saying you're more of a visual person, more hands-on, right? Whereas some people are more auditory. Like, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand what you're asking me to explain.
Well, I'm trying to say, could you and me walk through some of those prompts that you would with your clients, and just to give people, so people can hear what it's like and say, hey, this could be helpful. And because, you know, we could just talk about hearsay, etc. And then it's like, well, what does the coaching do with this? And but maybe by giving them an example, they can say, oh, well, this does sound helpful.
Okay, well, again, it can be different for every person we sit down with. Just like you said, you're more of a hands-on person. Some people, I sit down for an example, and they're telling me they don't understand goal setting, right? I'll put the sheets in front of them, and I'll literally have them, I'll be right beside them, or let's say I'm on a Zoom call, I'll have the form shared, and I'll say, well, that's great. And I'll give them analogies. I'll share a little story. Storytelling is one of the most powerful things. Sometimes I'll be vulnerable and I'll share things personal about me in regards to that goal setting, something that can make their visual, like in their mind, understand, right? So maybe it's involving a piece of paper. Again, everybody's different. Sometimes I'll take a piece of paper and I'll draw things out to them. And maybe let's use the needs versus wants. I can write out the word needs versus wants and write down the words under what would you think, Jimmy, what would you think would be some needs? So I'm making it interactive, right? Jimmy, tell me some things that are needs and you'll start telling me some stuff. We'll write it down. And on the wants side, I'll say, you know, what do you think would be some wants that aren't really needs? And I'll preface it and say, right, I'll make sure they understand what my definition of needs and wants, right? If my vehicle breaks down, that's a need. If I want a new stereo in my vehicle, that's a want, right? I want something flashy in my life. I want a beautiful shirt. That's a want. But yet I have a tear in a shirt and I need that shirt for work because it's a requirement. That's a need, right? I teach them that. So, and we'll have that little conversation. We'll discuss it and I'll say, okay, let's write this out. So let's get a better understanding, Jimmy, that we're on the same page. So that visual of that piece of paper helps. Now, if I'm teaching somebody about goal setting, we look at those sheets and they go, well, we're not sure what to pick. Like, there's so many choices on here. And I'll say, well, what was your first desire, Jimmy, to want to sit down with me? What's on your mind? What's bothering you? What is going on that it made you want to reach out to me, or your friend referred you to me? What did they say to you that triggered in your mindset that you wanted to sit with me? And I just shut up and I listen. And that person will tell me, well, you know, we've been swimming in debt and we don't know how to free up money to get out of debt. We're thinking we might have to go into bankruptcy and we're afraid of losing our house. And they'll start sharing this stuff. The more they share with me, the better I can help them. And I can use a piece of paper. You could draw a house and I'll say, well, you know, I'll write down things below that house, for an example, and say, okay, you're scared of losing your house. What does your house give you, Jimmy? Well, it gives us shelter. It gives us protection, keeps us from the elements. It gives us a place to live. It gives us a place to raise our family or potentially raise a family if we don't have one yet. I make them tell me why that house is important. Well, okay, so Jimmy, you're telling me this house is really important. So you need to free up money because you're swimming in debt on this side. Hey, Jimmy, I have a workshop that you and I can do together. I'll do it with groups of people, but for you, let's do it together. And I bring up a PowerPoint presentation. I've got five of them. One of them is just on how to manage debt and increase income, right? How to get their mindset more stuck on that need and want. And, you know, then we'll actually go through that. And part of that workshop shows budgeting. It shows talks about the fact of how to do debt consolidation roll up. It gives them more of a visual as I'm explaining the slides and going through it. Then when we're done, I can ask them more questions. It's about asking the right questions, Jimmy. It's really hard to give you paint by number system. Because you, like your friends, everybody's unique to their fingerprint, aren't they? Everybody has a different life. So it's basically find out what people's pain points are. Share and be vulnerable with them. If it's something that they're going through that isn't personal to me, after 21 years, I've dealt with people that have had that circumstance. There's never a circumstance that I've educated and helped people with that I've never experienced 21 years in, right? So I share, give analogies, vulnerable, use pieces of paper. Like, I don't get really fancy, keep it, write it out. And then, if they're into it, I will spend that hour to go through one of the workshops that fits what they're talking about. Some people, over their lifetime of dealing with me, we do all the workshops because they're very visual. They're very hands-on of wanting to see, oh my goodness, that's what debt roll-up is, what you were talking about and what you were trying to show me, because they can't apply it based on what I'm saying. But as soon as they see the visual of it, then they can see how they're going to apply it to their circumstances. And then other people, we don't have to. They get it, right? They get it differently. They interpret things differently. Everybody's unique.
Yeah, I like how you said that. Everyone's unique. And I just want to share with everyone, my listeners, et cetera, that, you know, I know that I need a new computer soon, because this computer, I'm going to guess, is going to be like 13 or 14, maybe 15 years old, up there in age. And that's very old for a computer. It still runs perfectly great. It's fast still, has plenty of storage on it. But for security purposes, because of my business is online, and it's a Windows 10 computer, and Windows 10 is, it's going to go bye-bye soon. And unless you want to pay for support for that, and I don't want to pay for support for that. Maybe because, like, new operating system, more security versus, hey, let's just stick with the old stuff. You don't know how much work is going into keeping that old stuff up and running, et cetera, and how often it's going to be updated. So I was like, I'm going to start investing in a new computer. I was hoping to do it hopefully this year, but I'm trying to be realistic to myself and said, okay, it's such and such in this year. I'm not going to, just for purposes of the podcast, if it goes out late and I don't share. But so basically I'm looking into the following year around the same time or a little bit after, just so I know. It's like, okay, I think this would be more practical now. If I get some additional etc., I will reevaluate what I can do. And instead of it coming out of my own bank account, what I've been doing, I've set up an account somewhere else, still in another bank, but I've been using it as literally just savings, and I just put some money here towards this, to my emergency fund, and to my regular savings. And so I'm literally not taking the money out of my own bank account for this computer. I'm setting aside money because it's like, okay, I don't have a lot of money coming in, but what I do, I'm going to set aside each here and there, split it up into different accounts. So
that's a perfect item for a budget, right? Within a budget, you can have a vacation entry. You can have emergency fund, Jimmy's new computer, right? And when you look at all this stuff, again, it helps when you have that. It's good you brought that up. If you have that computer in there, you're going to look through all the items that you have on your budget, and you're going to go, I need to have this replaced in 15 months, 16 months, right? Let's say a year and a half from now, I need to replace it. So some of these other things that are needs aren't as big as a need as that. That is a want and a need. The computer isn't, it's your business, it's your livelihood, you need to have it. So all of a sudden you'll figure out things and you'll be willing to go without on something else, so that every month you're putting $100 into where it says computer, Jimmy's computer. And like you said, you're putting it into another bank account. And if you have that fixed amount and you know the computer you want is $1,800, 18 months from now, you're going to have that $1,800 because you've actually visually seen it on a budget and you knew that it was a goal of yours. Again, goals and budgets tie together. They have to be black and white.
Yeah. And I also just want to point out, I do have a Chromebook, but this thing is not very strong. It has like literally an i3 processor in it. And for those who do not know much about computers, it's crap. I'm on that blog and just taking notes and playing some low-end video games on there. I mean, just in my free time on the weekend, not every day. They're like mobile games because it has Android, etc. on there. So it's not like Call of Duty or something else, etc. And but basically, in plain terms, i3 is not very powerful. So trying podcast editing on this thing, I was like, oh yeah, I love all those tech articles. Like, Chromebooks are better than Windows because of this. It's fast and whatnot. It's like, yeah, but it does not have the power and full strength like this computer that I'm currently using. I know it's old. It's older than my Chromebook, but it cuts like butter. Like, literally, that's how fast it is.
That's true.
I'll admit that I spent quite a bit on this when I first got it. But I should rephrase that. I spent the difference because I sent one. I brought one back because let's just say the company behind it was a cuckoo in the head. I'm cutting it because I said a lot worse on you off
right.
Not being a tool, but I'll just say that company just got me going. It's like, you can't possibly be telling me this straight in front of my eyes and saying that this is correct. And it's like, this is correct. It's like, no, it's not. I would be more specific, but if I be more specific, I'll tell the whole company, tell everybody who that company was, and I don't want to get myself in trouble. So... my last few questions for you, and I'll make it really fast. Actually, before I ask the last few questions, the only thing I did spend money on that was literally that, but that, I mean, I did some research on it, was, I don't know if you noticed, but like, you know, the Mint budget app, Intuit decided to shut that down to finally.
Nah, they did, yeah.
Not with their Credit Karma. And I was like, if it's not going to have all the budgeting features of Mint, I'm not going to use it. So I did splurge on a budget app, and I did buy the lifetime version of it because I was like, I need a budget app right now. And because like when I saw that email, I was like so furious. It's like, what kind of idiots decided to shut this down? And it's like, this thing worked perfect. Well, we're going to blend this thing into Credit Karma. And it's like, and everybody fleed from Mint. And it's like, this was a dumb move. No one's going to use this. Well, I mean, I'm not going to use it. So I did splurge on that, even though I didn't have money coming in at the time, because I need something to budget, and I'm not going to do paper and pencil because I will lose paper and pencil. And two, I need something that I can see my credit cards. I can be on top of things. Cause if I don't be on top of things, my brain is like, damn it. That's why it happened when I was switching scheduling tools for my podcast, because it's like, this person was supposed to be here, and then five other people is like, hey, you forgot to have a schedule. I was like, damn my brain. So my last few questions for you is, who's your favorite podcaster, and who's your favorite podcaster, and feel free not to say me.
Well, I couldn't say you because I haven't listened to your podcast. That's the honest truth, right? I'm a podcaster myself, right? Plus, I have a very successful business that keeps me active all the time. I have a few different podcasts I really like. One of the best podcasts I like to listen to is a podcast called 365 Driven. Basically a friend of mine by the name of Tony Watley has that podcast. It's one of the top rated podcasts in the world. I really enjoy listening to his podcast. It covers the four cornerstones of life, right? Your health, your wealth, your fitness, and your emotional state of mind, right? He basically has guests on that talk about all aspects of life. He might have somebody on that's it's going to be about business, or it'll be an entrepreneur. You might have somebody on that's talking about nutrition. And I've been listening to Tony's podcast now for 4 years. When I do have time to listen to podcasts, I listen to his podcast. There's also other podcasts that I've enjoyed. I like Lewis Howes' School of
Greatness. I like him too.
Yeah. I've met Lewis, super nice guy. I've been to a couple of his conferences, his podcast. He has a daily motivation podcast that he started about a year and a half ago. It's anywhere from 8 to 15 minutes a day, and it's snippets of his best quotes or best parts of his full-blown podcast. So that's the one I plug into. Like, I was driving a couple days ago and I had podcast up on my display, and I pressed it and it showed Lewis's daily motivation podcast is there. Poof, listen to it, because it was about 8-9 minutes. Sometimes they're 15 minutes. So I really like Lewis Howes. There's so many good podcasters out there, but there's only so many hours a day, because I also listen to a lot of books. I like Audible. Right. So if I'm driving or I'm sitting, I don't always listen to a podcast. I might listen to another chapter of a book, right, that I've got going. So those two are the podcasts that I'm listening to, are the 365 Driven with Tony Watley or Lewis Howes' Daily Motivation.
And Jimmy's crazy fitness guy's going to be on the podcast soon. That's going to be on the list too. I don't know who said that.
Yeah, crazy fitness guy. Everybody listen to that podcast. Absolutely. I wouldn't be on your podcast after reading your stuff if I didn't think it was a good podcast. It's just, I'm being truthful. I believe in 100% directness and truth. If I, the amount of podcasts I've been on, if I had to listen to everybody's podcast, I would never, ever have enough time to sleep or work or do other things. Because there's a lot of good podcasts.
I know. I don't like to follow. I always like to trick somebody with that, stump them with that question, because everybody's like,
Actually, my favorite podcast in the whole world is called Give a Heck. How's that for an answer? My own podcast. How about that?
Well, that's a good answer too. I'm going to use that next time.
Yeah, exactly.
So my last question for you is, where can people follow you, find you, and learn more information about who you are?
The best place to go is to my website, giveaheck.com. Right. Very simple. Giveaheck.com. There's everything in there about my coaching, my life coaching business, my finance coaching, my best-selling book. You can read up on that. You can find out about my podcast there. You can read up and watch one of my speaker reels on there from when I go and speak. And yeah, everything's there. My about, you can book a free strategy session with me if you want to communicate and see if there's anything that gels between you and I or a group of people, whether or not I can help you out, whether or not, you know, there's chemistry for me to help you out. Because in the end of the day, the best mentors or coaches are people that you can relate to, and there's a chemistry, right? A connection.
Awesome. I hope we can definitely collaborate on something. Maybe I can come on your show, because I learned a lot of budgeting mistakes and tips and everything that I could share from my perspective as well. I'll give you an example. When I first started my business, I started on WordPress, and it was the most costly mistake I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
Let's just say that I'm not going to give you the dollar amount, because when I remove the dollar amount up here, but every time when I remind myself of that dollar amount, it's like, let me not hit that dollar amount anytime soon. And it's like, it's a scary amount. Let's just say it's close to the version. Yeah, I'm not going to say the exact amount, but let's just say that. But I do hope we can collaborate in the future of some way, some sort, etc.
We can certainly have more conversation about it, of course. No problem. If you can reach out to me, too.
Awesome. In the meantime, have a good rest of your day, and let's stay in touch.
You bet. Take care, brother. Thanks for having me on, Jimmy.
Definitely. So that's all the time we have for today. If you like it, subscribe, share, and comment, and let me know what you thought about this episode. Be polite. In the meantime, you can follow me at Jim Clare Speaker on Facebook and you can follow me at Jim Clare Speaker on Facebook and Instagram, and Jim Clare Speaker on Twitter. You can follow Crazy Vin Scott at Crazy Vin Scott on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the Weekly Motivation with Crazy Vin Scott for the live stream on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, The Wisdom App, and Blast Radio. And once this episode goes live, you can listen to it on Apple, Google, Spotify, Spreaker, and wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to help to support the show, subscribe to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast to get behind-the-scenes access, listen ad-free, and more. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year. And no, I did not change any of those prices because I am kicking inflation in the butt. And last but not least, you want some cool swag that is right here for the Crazy Venice Guy podcast. Go to the mall.crazyvenniceguy.com and get yourself some swag today. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Venice Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Venice Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.